From NPR News, I'm Tony Cox. James Forman, civil rights pioneer and scholar, dead at the age of 76. Forman first came to the attention of the nation in the early 1960s as a leader of the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, otherwise known as SNCC. His principal work was in Mississippi, and just yesterday on this program, we discussed the recent arrest of a suspect in the 1964 murders of three young SNCC volunteers in that state, two of whom traveled south at Forman's urging. Forman nearly lost his own life in those days and endured years of beatings, jailings, and death threats. In subsequent years, he moved from civil rights to black nationalist politics to other types of grassroots organizing. But James Forman, we are told, stayed true to his vision of a society of equals in a land of real opportunity. Barbara Ransby, Associate Professor of African American Studies at the University of Illinois, joins us now to talk about the life of James Forman. Barbara, nice to have you on.
Thank you for having me.
In a few words, how would you sum up the legacy of James Forman, and where would you place him among those who most impacted the civil rights movement?
Well, I did not know James Forman in his heyday, so to speak. I was too young for that. I met him while I was researching the civil rights movement, and then had subsequent occasions to be in his presence. And he was so revered by many of the activists who had been involved in the civil rights era, and SNCC in particular. Like so many activists, though, Forman is best known and remembered for a fairly brief stint in his long political career, that is, as his role as executive secretary of SNCC. But before that, he actually was involved in lending support to to Tennessee sharecroppers in Fayette County, Tennessee, in the early 1960s, something he later wrote about. Jim Forman brought a certain kind of seriousness to SNCC and a certain kind of discipline to the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee. As you know, he was a decade or so older than many of the young people who were the main cadre for that organization. But he was a feisty character. He was serious and unbending, and very much the intellectual, and I think brought to SNCC a global view of the fight that they were involved in, and was just very critical, a critical anchor in that organization.
As you said, you've interviewed him years ago. I did as well. Those close to him say that he was outwardly tough, as you've just described him, but genuinely caring just as a person. How did you find him in your interaction?
Oh, I found him very caring, at the same time very serious. It was a funny story because I sat down with him to interview him. I had my tape recorder, and then a few minutes later, he pulled out his tape recorder just in case.
Right.
So he was cautious still at that point. But I also saw him in the presence of one of his sons, and he was just a very nurturing and proud father at that point in his life. He was already quite sick. But one of the things that a number of SNCC people say about him is that he, in some ways, was a father figure in SNCC. He wasn't really old enough to be the father of people like Julian Bond and John Lewis and Joyce Ladner, but he was fully grown, and they were coming into their own as adults and activists, and so he was nurturing and tough, and I think that that is what I observed in him as well.
You know, he left. He was replaced in 1966 as the head of SNCC by Stokely Carmichael, and then not too long after that, about 3 years or so, he helped to create the Black Economic Development Conference, and out of that came the so-called Black Manifesto, which, by the way, on one occasion was delivered in person by James Forman to a white congregation in New York. He was very outspoken. Here's a part of that.
Now, understand very clearly that we're not only just talking about taking the reins of government from those that have it now, but we're talking about redistributing the total wealth of the United States. All of this is contained in the manifesto because we have a third world viewpoint. We recognize the United States as the most imperialist country in the world today. We recognize it as the most racist country, and we understand quite fully, that the United States is choking mankind, not just black people in the United States, but it's choking mankind with its system of government and with the economic arrangements that it has. And it's a government that has to fall. There's no question about it. You may not be here. I know I will not be here. But it has to fall. That's my prophetic vision, if you will. Those of you who are religious will understand my right to call myself a prophet in this particular situation.
Well, James Forman certainly was a pioneer in the civil rights movement, no question about that. But I wonder, here's my question to you, how much the younger generation, when they study black history, are taught about James Forman and his role?
Well, I think not very much. And he has a book, as you know, which is his memoir in the movement, The Making of Black Revolutionaries, which I have used in classes in the past. And it's a long book, but it tells a very amazing story of someone who was very serious, who had not only an analysis of racial injustice, but economic injustice and global injustice. And Jim Foreman, after that very historic moment in Riverside Church, you know, went on to be very involved, continued to be very involved in black freedom struggles, demanding self-determination and reparations and statehood for Washington, D.C., and really a more just world. So even people who disagreed with him about particular things could certainly respect and be influenced by his stamina and seriousness and the savvy analysis that he brought to very complex issues.
We have about 30 seconds or so left, and I just want to know whether or not, you may not even know the answer to this, how he was affected by the death of the SNCC workers who went down to Mississippi. Did you talk to him about that really briefly?
I didn't talk to him specifically about it, but he did mention that in some of his writings, and I think all the people in SNCC were certainly sobered by that. But part of what Jim Foreman was pushing for in SNCC at that time was a more disciplined organization, mm-hmm. a more serious organization, and certainly those murders brought home the point that the organization had to be very careful, was engaged in a very, very serious enterprise,
okay.
and it upped the stakes.
All right, our time runs out. Barbara Ransby, an associate professor of African American Studies at the University of Illinois, she joined us to comment on the life of James Foreman, who died Monday from cancer at the age of 76. Thanks.
Thanks, Tony.